The fastest goals. The expert's opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL are here. And what you missed during the break, I told you this schedule is as if they didn't consult Clyde One Super Scoreboard when they come up with these fixture times today. Celtic have started very, very quickly inside 2024. Less than 60 seconds on the clock when Daizen Maeda raced in, put the ball into the back of the net in Paisley, and Celtic lead St Mirren by a goal to nil. A dream start, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, even though Daizen made a, you know, gave the goalkeeper a chance of saving it, but it's gone right through the goalkeeper. Terrific start from Celtic. They have begun on the front foot. They have clearly absorbed the manager's message about don't allow the win over Rangers to be your effort for the week. Get back out there and get something done in this game, because they know that Rangers have won 3-1 and Celtic have started in the fashion in which the manager really wanted them to do.
01419511025. I know it's Tuesday and you're thinking, what's going on here? Super Scoreboard's on and there's games happening. It's a bit weird at this time of year. I think everyone can sympathise with that. But you can phone in, you can let us know what you made of today's games. 01419511025. And please do, Rangers fans, how big a win was that to bounce back from the defeat to Celtic and take you in to the winter break? What did you make of your new boy, Fabio Silva? Did you see enough? Or are you going to have to wait? Todd Cantwell scoring, did that impress you? Ross McCausland, anything else that you want to comment on, please get those calls over to us. Motherwell fans losing a very, very late goal to throw away all 3 points at Hibs, how frustrating is that? And we'll keep taking you through St Mirren against Celtic as well, where Celtic have made it to, have they? Yeah. Yes, they have. Let me give you one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
A blistering start in Paisley, and it's arguably, well, it's definitely Celtic's top player of the first half of the season. Maybe the league's, it's Matt O'Reilly. Collects it in the box, nice footwork, slots it low, and inside 6 minutes, it's St Mirren. Nil.
It's great play by Bernardo, you've got to say. Terrific turn. He could have shot his cell, but unselfishly, he just lays it on to O'Reilly, takes a touch, and gives the goalkeeper no chance. We said this would be a difficult fixture. They're certainly making it look easy to say.
Yeah, Bernardo and O'Reilly really doing well there.
They're blowing St Mirren off the park. I go back to the point about Bernardo. Prior to Dens Park on Boxing Day, you wouldn't have kept him. But he scored against Dundee, scored against Rangers, made that goal for O'Reilly. O'Reilly's composure, absolutely top drawer. And, well, there's one way of responding to your win over Rangers, and that's to be even better in the next game. And Celtic are certainly trying their level best to be just that.
Yeah, without doubt they're at it. You can see the intensity, the pace is there, how quick they're moving the ball, but runners off the ball as well. I think it was Callum McGregor just took the St Mirren defence away there to open up for Palma to play into Bernardo, and he does the rest with a nice little turn. So 7 minutes in, really, really positive stuff from Celtic.
100th appearance today for Matt O'Reilly for Celtic. I figured next week, maybe the end of this week, start of next week, we could do some sort of half season awards for a bit of fun. Just a bit of fun.
Good idea.
Super Scoreboard, since it's going to be a bit quieter. And if and when we do get round to a player of the first half of the year, I think he'll be right up there.
I think Brendan Rodgers has got to take a lot of credit for that, Gordon. He came in, he's tweaked it a little bit with O'Reilly. He gets forward a lot more now. He gets into dangerous position. He's a clever player. He's not scoring the goals because it's luck. His timing of the run is absolutely brilliant. And he's a very, very good finisher, you've got to say. So I think Brendan Rodgers must take a pat in the back for you know, what he's getting out of O'Reilly just now. He's been absolutely terrific.
I wonder how Riley McGree feels.
The one that got away.
Yeah, the one who should have been Matt O'Reilly, but who decided he would rather go to Middlesbrough, who yesterday lost 3-1 at home to Coventry City. His agent must be a real top drawer.
Daz is right, though, about the manager. There was a lot made about Matt O'Reilly's comments at the start of the season about the differences between Ange Postecoglou and Brendan Rodgers, and how personable Brendan Rodgers was in comparison to Postecoglou. Now, it's not been the case with a lot of players that you see the results of that on the pitch, but Matt O'Reilly's certainly one. So sometimes players need to feel loved, they need to feel wanted, And obviously the work that's been done on the training pitch has obviously helped O'Reilly as well. It's up to the player to then go and deliver that. He certainly has. He's been player of the season for me so far.
What about Ange? A bit upset the other night, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Went to fight people.
Didn't really see him square going in the touchline up
one
here.
One of your family at Hugmanay when they've had too many.
He went through every Old Firm game, every cup final, every this, that, the other, and the best you got was a little twitch of his mouth.
I thought Celtic had scored a third. It's as good a chance as any. And it was a curling ball. Yeah, I think the flag was up. Kyogo couldn't provide the finish anyway. But it looked like a golden chance.
Yeah, he's off.
Well, I wouldn't be too sure. I wouldn't be too sure. But anyway, it didn't go in. So there we are. 01419511025. Rangers fans, what did you make of that game today? Let us know. Motherwell fans, anyone else that's out there on the 3 o'clock games? Think of it as like a Saturday evening. That's kind of where we are. And we're actually on an extra hour for you tonight. We're here until 7. So we kind of need you to get in touch and let us know what is on your mind, because otherwise I'll be, well, stuck
with you on the decks. Like George, because he's not, because it's not a Saturday, Hugh. Get the records out.
Yeah.
In the mix with Keevans.
Get a bit of Tony Bennett on. Off and run it.
Yeah, could well do that. You forgot we were on till 7, didn't you?
Yeah.
I could see the look in your face.
I was counting down the minutes on that clock here, thinking, oh, it's 11 minutes past 5. Not long ago now.
I've got a real decision to make here as to whether I admit that I was the same. Really? Pretend that I had it all under control. You think I would know?
I love being on.
Chance for St Mirren here.
Yes, there's a shout. There you are, Celtic fans, St Mirren fans. We are here till 7, so you can talk about the game with us as it goes. You might be able to squeeze in your full-time thoughts. You can certainly squeeze in your half-time thoughts. But in the meantime, we're probably best looking back on the 3 o'clock matches. But you cannot grumble with this start from Celtic, Mark.
No, without doubt. I mean, like I said, the intensity is there. And that was a big message probably from Brendan Rodgers, because he keeps going on about the ball speed and how that's letting him down. But especially this game, coming off the back of that one against Rangers, it's sometimes difficult when you've hit such a high just a couple of days ago to then replicate that in a smaller ground against lesser opposition. But they've started brilliantly, and Maeda is getting in for fun.
Got to do better then, Mark.
He's got to do better.
He absolutely kills the fullback. Great ball with Johnson just inside him. He's got all the time, all the room. He's got to get his head up and pick out a better pass. I'm loving the pace of this game. It's a good pace.
See, when it comes to Celtic, or probably Rangers as well, but keep it specific since we're on about Celtic, is it really all about the speed of play, Mark? Because the nature of our league, when you turn up in a fixture, even if Celtic are in bad form and even if the other team's in good form, because of the way we are set up, Celtic are always going to have better players than their opponent. Like always, every single ground that they go to, and you can debate amongst yourselves about Ibrox, but that's always going to be the way. So that is that like the only is that like the main failing? Is that the difference between going to these games and struggling and going and doing what you should ultimately do?
Well, not just on the ball, the speed of play, but movement off it as well to drag the opponent, you know, out of position, and then playing the right passes at the right pace. If you think of the poorer Celtic performances this season, and you look at them in possession, and it goes side to side, and it's easy to defend against, and it's easy for teams to get in and set up against you, as we're just looking at a chance here for St Mirren, then that's where Celtic's failings have been. The games that they've started quickly, you've got runners off the ball, you've got pinpoint accuracy with your passes, and they're a great weight. Those are the games that they've blown teams away. And within 12 minutes, that's been the case here at St Mirren.
A bit of a warning sign, Gordon. Scales, who's been excellent, obviously, bit of a mistake from him, and not a great attempt at pace by Mike Navrotsky to go and collect the ball, and that allowed Ayunga to St Mirren to get the chance.
That worried me. I looked at that, Mark highlights it. He's decent coming out with the ball, good passer and everything. The one thing I think he does lack is that pace. We just seen it in the box there. He's favourite to go and get that ball. He's nowhere near it. St Mirren player just gets in front of him, and it's a dangerous position. He needs to read. If he's not get that blistering pace, he's got to be a good reader of the game.
Although, to be fair, he's the one that then, you know, puts the striker off. He obviously relies on his kind of one-on-one defending when he's able to stand him up
Yeah, I think that's a plus for him. I think he's probably a very good 1v1 defender. He's got to be, because he's not pacey at all. And we're seeing him coming out here. He's comfortable coming out and linking up the play as well, which is a big part of what Brendan Rodgers is trying to do. Get his centre-halves into the middle of the park, do the overloads. You're talking about the pace at Celtic play, but you've still got to look at their league campaign. That's 52 goals this season already. So they obviously do something right.
But that would have to be a concern for me with Navrotsy, the complete lack of pace. You get caught out time and time again. But anyway, the most important thing for Celtic was that they built on the win over Rangers, and the Rangers fans who had looked at their team winning 3-1 will still be in the car park trying to get away from Ibrox, knowing that Celtic are now 2-up this early in the game. So in general terms, it's been a terrific start for Celtic.
Mercy's lack of pace there.
He's 10 yards in front of him. Yeah. He's got to be.
Listen, I think I must see something different from Navrotsky for you, Pierre.
Do you think he's got pace?
I'm not saying he's got pace, but it's almost like you're waiting for him to do something catastrophic. You've got to judge him for what you see, not for what you've not seen him.
Mark, I judged him because I don't think he's got pace, right? And I think that you would agree with that. I judged him by saying his positives, the way he can come out, the way he reads a game, he's comfortable at passing. So I'm not sitting here just trying to, you know, criticise a lad. All I said was, I think that he needs to be a good reader of the game because of his lack of pace. And I'm correct in that. You know I'm correct.
Not everybody could be as quick as you.
Well, that's true. Even Martin Boyle wasn't as quick as me.
Even the sprinter, what's he called?
Alan Wells.
Wells.
The gold medalist.
Ewan Wells in the start line. Yeah. I'm disappointed that we don't see more footballers racing sprinters.
Well, in the days, that's the old days of Meadowbank, away you go and take your chances. Alan was very impressed that day, but I've got to say, I think Celtic...
What sort of animal do you think you'd have been as quick as?
That's a great
cheetah.
Question.
Where would you put that? Listen, that's too cliche, too obvious, and we know you're not as fast as a cheetah. All so right, give me something more, like a dairy cow or something. Do you know what I mean? Something like relatable.
I'll tell you...
A Labrador or...
I wasn't... We have to look at something that starts quick, because my burst was unbelievable.
Right.
I wasn't one of these...
A sheep.
Taking 5-10 yards.
A fox.
No, a fox.
Foxes are quick.
Fox quick, aren't they?
Aye. Oh, absolutely. As soon as you scare them, as soon as you see one, they're away.
Yeah.
But they've not got stamina.
I think that could be you then. A fox. But fox in a box.
I've not made this up. Did they not get one of those rugby players to race a cheetah a few years ago? Remember that?
No, if they'd done that.
Brian Habana, the South Africa winger. I think he raced a cheetah. I'm sure he did.
What did they tell the cheetah?
Chased a bit of steak on a string or something.
Off the Serengeti plain. You're racing this guy.
I'm sure they did.
Strap a piece of meat to him.
Well, here's the worry. If I've made that up, I don't know.
From the jungle, the cheetah.
I don't know how my brain works if I have made that up, but I'll YouTube it. Whilst
you've been bored
goals
one day at school and thought, I wonder YouTube. What he could beat. And it's just came to light. There. He's not giggling at it.
Bear with me.
You talk about the game while Gordon.
Stephen Robinson,
this is more
looks
important.
Like a man who has seen a ghost. The St Mirren manager can't quite believe what's happening. His side, their lack of pace and inability to read the game is catching them out time and time again. And the Celtic 2-up 18 minutes in, and it might even have been more. So I can't remember a game this season where Celtic started this brightly, this early.
Oh, there we are. Brian Habana versus Cheetah. The ultimate race
true.
For survival.
Is it on YouTube? I'm going to watch that when I go home.
100 metres, apparently.
100 metres?
Oh, don't ruin it for me.
I don't want to give you the big spoiler.
Right, the rugby player didn't win, I would guarantee that.
Is he still alive? Like, didn't eat him?
Yeah. Swallowed him in a line.
Anyway, I did tell you it's a bit different today. Kind of sounds like a Saturday show, if you like. We've had 3 o'clock games. We do have a 5 o'clock game just to confuse things. But most importantly, you can give us a call and let us know what's on your mind, as Alan has done. Alan, what stood out then? What did you make of Ibrox today?
Well, I'm very happy. Oh, by the way, all the best for everybody there. Happy New Year to you all. Thanks for letting me on.
Thanks, Alan. Same to you.
Just to say that I'm happy with the result there. at 40 minutes, I would never give Rangers a chance. We've been scoring. The sister of a son, I can't see a scoring here. Be lucky if there's one goal in it. But then the two quick goals before half-time made the big difference here. Don't get me wrong, Kilmarnock played really well. They played to suit themselves there. They stopped us for scoring there. We had never had a shot on the goal until we scored there. But the second half, what a big difference here. And as far as I'm concerned, that all the sceptics were always going about Rangers never get penalties against them. Well, VAR proved it there. And it was a penalty, by the way. As far as I was concerned, the people around me all said exactly the same. So that proves the sceptics wrong, that Rangers do get penalties against them. But to score straight after it to make it 3-1, that stopped Kilmarnock right away in there. But I'm happy at the end of the day with the result. Well done, Rangers. Now, we'll move on probably to the end of the month now. But thanks, gentlemen.
Well, don't worry, you don't have to go so soon. We'll keep you on for a bit of conversation.
Thanks for letting me on.
Who, yeah, timing can be everything, can't it? And Alan is right. Once it ticked towards the kind of late 30s, 40 minutes, maybe Rangers fans, I'm not saying are panicking, but maybe thinking, yeah, well, could it be one of those days? But if you get the two before half time, it just changes everything.
Well, we were having that debate during the match that, you know, Kilmarnock had made such an attempt of giving Rangers a game. And it was successful. They had a one-on-one Vassell on Butland, and Vassell did the reasonably well, but Butland was up to it with a good save. And at that point you thought, well, Derek McInnes has sent them out with the right attitude, right tactics, and this could be a really long afternoon. But then came two terrific goals from Rangers, and you know, even though it eventually went 2-1 on the back of the penalty, I don't think there was ever any doubt about who was going to win.
And Alan saying he's a Rangers fan, he's got no problem with the penalty award. I think everyone knows that type, don't you? You know they're getting given.
You kind of
think, what's John Souter meant to do? But listen, we should be experienced enough now, and you almost just need to take them.
Without doubt. I mean, I always sympathise with the defenders, like I say, because in my shoes I'd be the same. What do I do? But it's a penalty kick, and it was stuck away nicely. But Alan's right, the response from Rangers was key at that point, because I've played in those games before. You've just been beaten in the Derby game. You're going against a team that's in the top half of the table, playing well, making things very difficult for you, and it's teetering on the edge a bit. And once you get that third goal, it was plain sailing from there.
Did we get to see enough of Fabio Silva, Alan, to make a snap judgement either way?
It's kind of hard to judge there. He's only come on for the last, 20 minutes, 25 minutes there. But he's just introduced to the new the team there. So I think there could be a lot of potential there. Give him a chance to get the next game in there, put him on for the start or even a full second half there. We'll see how he gets on there. But he's introduced into the crowd. He must have walked out going, a full house. Oh, what am I playing here? So that bit of encouragement for him as well.
You're a good man, Alan. Thank you for taking the time. The phone lines are open. Alan giving us his assessment of the game at Ibrox today. In Paisley, we're 22 gone. St Mirren nil, Celtic 2. Two very early goals, and Celtic look in the mood. We'll take more of your calls next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
26 and a half gone, St Mirren nil, Celtic 2. Any updates to bring us, Hugh Keevans? Because well, Gordon, Mark and I have been watching humans racing cheetahs during the break.
By the way,
so if you want to tell us what's actually been happening.
Well, I don't think Joe Hart's actually touched the ball with his hands yet. Celtic continue to take the game to St Mirren. They ought to be further in front than the two that they have, but they've got an interesting free kick now. The St Mirren defence, and they know it, they're arguing with each other. They are being pulled apart far too easily. I'm certainly no mistake about that foul on Louis Palmer. So it's everything that Brendan Rodgers would have wished for, other than there should be more than two goals.
I think Marcus Fraser's right. You see the skipper, St Mirren, there just having a go at the midfielders in front of him for no tracking runners. That's several times the midfield for St Mirren have just dropped Bernardo or O'Reilly, and their reaction's been so poor. If you're starting like that against Celtic, you have no chance.
I think you've got to be careful. This game could be away for you within the first half.
Ooh, Celtic flash a header just past the post. It was Kyogo.
Yeah, I fancy him. He's had one or two little half chances today. He's looked sharp. I fancy him.
Can Alistair Johnson gamble at the back post?
He's at the back post for that reason, just to gamble off the first contact. And Kyogo would do well to score from there. It's the second one round the back. Johnson's got a tap in if he keeps going.
There must have been something flawed about Alistair Johnson's training methods when he was a kid, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Bad education.
Yeah.
Well, I worked in his defensive side and his use of the ball. And you can see, obviously,
so you taught him that. What he did at the
his inside pass to Maeda early on was just
he's using the ball, right? Okay, his cross in the second half against Rangers, where it actually cleared 18-yard line.
Speaking of Alistair Johnson, one of the great ongoing jokes on this show is the time that Mark O'Hara came in here.
Yeah.
He left his girlfriend sitting in the car, and we couldn't believe it. They've just zoomed in the crowd, and there are the pair of them sitting. So it's good to know she's been let out of the car tonight, because I couldn't have that on my conscience again.
Let's hope that's his girlfriend.
Well, exactly. This guy, cameras have done him in.
Imagine you're sitting in the car watching.
That is one of my favourite genres of social media viral clip. You ever seen those?
Whoa.
Where it'll be like,
yeah, yeah.
I think there's not a great one at like a Spanish game or something.
Aye.
So it zooms in on a guy and he's got his arm round, and the look in his face just says everything you need to know, and the arm immediately comes off.
That's how I don't go to games now.
Anyway. When I first started to go to Wimbledon many years ago, they employed people, newspapers employed people with heavy binoculars to train on the centre court to see who was sitting with whoever.
Ah, listen,
and then say, "Rope, caught him." And they get the snappers around there, take a photograph.
Busted.
You know the story after that, Gazza.
I've been there many a time. I don't mind if they're looking at their best. I've no problem whatsoever. But
right, let's go back to the phones, because Willie's on the line. He's a Rangers fan. What about you today, Willie? What did you think of it?
Having you here, lads. How you doing?
Yeah, same to you, thank you. All good.
Can I just say before I start, I never get a chance to come back the other week when, as I say, Mark and his boys are looking for something today and tours in Glasgow. Why does he not go and visit the new Rangers Museum?
Great show.
And read about real history and see, it's all interactive and everything. I think he'll really enjoy it.
Do you think he'd get welcomed in?
Well.
Does he wear a hard hat?
No, you don't get
it. Actually, I'll need a hard hat if I turn up to that. Is it free as well?
No, it's a tenner, mate.
Oh, you can't afford that. This is true. You were viral. You were a famous participant in the Central Station tour a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, it was amazing.
So Willie is suggesting you go down to Edmondson House.
I like all museums. I do, but
including you want to go
along? I think I'm busy. I'm busy this year.
Well, Willie, we'll try and twist his arm. What did you make of today?
Obviously I'm a bit happier. As I say, it was looking a bit iffy again. You know, it could have been one of the days at half time. It was good to see that boy Silver getting on. I don't know much about him, but I was reading the day in the paper. I don't know if you've seen it or not, or if you've seen it. That Paulo Sergio, remember him? He was a Hearts manager.
I do, yeah.
Maybe 6-7 seasons ago.
I remember him well, yep.
Aye, well, he reckons that he's not an out-and-out number nine. He needs a partner. So whether that would maybe be Dessers, who's playing a bit better, or even Cantwell, they might be a great pairing. I don't know what you think, Peter.
I think you could see enough today that he's certainly not an out-and-out striker.
Already? Have we got him pigeonholed in 15 minutes?
You know, Willie asked for my opinion, and I've given Willie my opinion. You may have a different one.
Well, it's not that I do. It's just you said we've seen enough, and I'm just wondering if we have.
That was the royal we being
folk. You're on fire, go for it.
We being folk.
Don't
from Bears Den.
Don't now, mate.
He doesn't look like what Willie would recall to mind, the Chris Boyds, the Nacho Novos, the Ali McCoys, but he's certainly not that Willie, is he?
And funnily enough, talking about Ali McCoys and Chris Boyd, none of the two of them could play up front themselves. Kenny Miller could, and he did for Scotland umpteen times. Boyd couldn't play up front himself, and neither could McCoys. Think about it.
Gordon, we didn't see very much.
No.
If people can have made a judgment, fair play to them, but I'm just not able.
He looks
able.
I'll tell you where Hugh and Willie's going with this. He's not just the, you know, the McCoys was a box player, right? Everything, he came alive in the box. And like Kyogo, sometimes you don't see Kyogo for long missed spells of a game, and then he just lights up the game, a movement in the box. Silver tended, when I was watching him, he likes to link up the play, he likes to come a little bit deeper, he likes to run at defenders. I thought for his 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I thought he'd done all right, Gordon. It's a hard one for him coming on. It was a difficult game as well, but it was at home. The boy would have probably been a bit nervous as well, maybe trying a little bit too hard. But look, that's him settled in now. And it'll be interesting, once he gets his first goal, that's what he needs. When you go to Rangers and you're a centre forward, and all the talks about the big price tags and everything that goes along with it, just getting the goals gives you so much confidence.
How would you sum up where Rangers are at then, Willie, as we head into this break?
Well, I mean, you look at that, the handball of the David Souter. I mean, as soon as cheating goes to that monitor, you know it's a penalty.
Steady,
right?
Willie, come on, because he's not here to defend himself. Then you get me in bother.
Allegedly, but at the end of the day, as soon as he goes to the monitor, you know what I mean, whether he's not sure or whatever. But what's Souter supposed to do? He's going to ground. What can he do with his arm? It's not an unnatural position. And talking about defending with Gordon, without Alistair Johnson, I mean, he was used to playing body basketball. That's how he used to put the ball out on Saturday.
This is the thing, right? And whether it is about Alistair Johnson or John Souter, let's not act like we're new to this. Like, this handball thing has been happening for a few years, and since VAR came in the microscope, Willie might not think that was an unnatural position. John Beaton does, and I do think lots of other refs would mark.
Yeah.
But again, some sort of caveat, whatever it is, you've said it as well. You're a defender. If you're kind of going down the line like that and you slide to block a ball, your hand's kind of bound to come up. Refs, lawmakers, IFAB, whatever, they don't seem to care. So by modern standards, I don't think that one today was hugely controversial.
No,
even if you want to say, where's John Souter supposed to put his hand?
Not at all. I mean, refs don't take that into consideration. Like, if you're asking me about the rules, I do think it's unfair, and maybe it should be reformed in some way, but I don't know how we get there. But that is just laws. And look, when you look at Rangers over the years, Conor Goldson springs to mind anyway. There's been a few of his handballs that maybe could have went the other way that they've got away with. So, look, today's was a penalty, no doubt about it. So there's no point in complaining about that.
Well, it's the first penalty Rangers have conceded in the league for 2 years. You can hardly accuse the referee.
To me, it's just ridiculous. I mean, there's deliberate handball, right? That's what it was. I mean, Gordon will tell you, he was a football player. Mark was a football player. I only played with the school in BB. I was never good enough, unfortunately. But a deliberate handball is what a penalty is. To me, they're no deliberate. I mean, the ball hit Sophie. And as far as Goldson goes, I'm not going to defend Goldson because he's only centre-half I know that's fair to heed the ball. Or put his face in front of the ball.
It is difficult, because, and that's the reason they changed it, because the notion of deliberate, how do you know?
Exactly.
Who really deliberately handballs it? You get the odd one.
The guys on the goal line, who it's the last-ditch save, and you don't see much of them anymore.
What would they do? The ref goes up and says, did you do that deliberately? No. All right, no penalty.
Definitely not.
Away we go. Yeah. But I do get what Willie means, the notion of at least trying to come up with what was deliberate.
I think Willie is of a vintage, like myself.
Yeah, I agree with that, Hugh. I've got to say that as well.
Where, you know, he can't understand why that's a penalty. Mm-hmm. But in the here and now, and we're not back in the day, we are in the here and now, it's a penalty 7 days a week.
Yeah, I don't think it falls into that category where you're thinking, you know, this is chaos. What, mm-hmm. you know, the handball rules, a complete bin fire. It doesn't probably quite fall into that one, it has to be said. But anyway, thank you to Willie on the line. It's 01419511025. Keep your calls coming, your thoughts on today's games. There's an evening game as well. Celtic still 2-0 up, and still very comfortable, it has to be said. Not necessarily battering down the door for a third, but very comfortable.
No, but if there's another goal coming, you've got to favour Celtic here. I agree with you. I've hardly seen Joe Hart being involved. St Mirren haven't offered a lot going forward. There've been one or two chances for Celtic falling about the box that, you know, Kyogo, as I say there, but ball's out. But Kyogo, well, we fleck, Alistair Johnson maybe should have got in the back and finished it off. But if there's another goal coming, I would probably say Celtic are favourites.
And
to
yet,
get it.
The 2-0, as you well know, Gordon, it can sometimes be awkward. You know, that Celtic are all over them, but have not added to that whirlwind start that they made. And therefore, it only takes that one moment where St Mirren get a goal and all of a sudden you're under a bit of pressure.
Well, more to come from Paisley and more of your calls next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon Dail, Hugh Keevans all here. It feels like a Saturday, but it's not really. But what it means is we're looking back on an afternoon fixture card and asking you what you made of it. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, how happy are you? What about the big talking points from the game? Fabio Silva's debut, Todd Cantwell scoring, anything else? John Souter's penalty conceded. Get your thoughts in, Motherwell fans. You were 2-1 up in the dying minutes at Easter Road, had to settle for a 2-2 draw. We'll hear from some of the managers involved as well. And we are ticking towards halftime in Paisley, where Celtic lead St Mirren by 2-0. We'll get Andrew McLean's halftime report. That might be a good opportunity. Celtic fans, you could call in at halftime. Let us know what you've made of the first half. It's been extremely comfortable up to this point, Gordon.
Yeah, it's been a very professional performance for the first 42 minutes, Gordon. If you'd have said to Brendan Rodgers, because they've dominated most of the possession, they look dangerous, they got off to a terrific start, they've got that cushion of 2-0, they're looking sharp, they're looking to add to that. Defensively, they've been solid. St Mirren have caused no problems at all. So I think right now Brendan Rodgers will be a very happy Celtic manager.
You know, the difference I see today and Saturday as well is Greg Taylor just tidying up. It was a through ball, Joe Hart came out, he ties up. The difference is that the Celtic players are trying to play that forward pass a lot quicker. Now with Brendan Rodgers' size historically, and when he's came here many games, slow build up, side to side, to drag teams out to try and get in behind them then. But on Saturday and today, you see Alistair Johnson, you've seen Greg Taylor, you've seen McGregor, look for that midfield runner, look for Maeda in behind or Palma in behind, and they've got success from it. So much, much better. Kind of throwback to what Postecoglou's teams were like. Couple of passes and then that decisive pass through.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing from some of today's managers as well. Remember Derek Adams of Morecambe are 100 times better than Ross County fame. Well, they lost heavily at home to Aberdeen. Barry Robson was apparently a man under pressure going into today, but again, that 3-0 win, how will he be feeling? Joe Hart's just taking a sore one as he comes and punches the
two
ball
Celtic
away.
Two Celtic players down, Gordon.
Yeah, so Joe Hart Johnson. And I think Alistair Johnson booking for that challenge on Joe Hart. David Martindale, another defeat for Livy. They're toiling. What will he have to say? Stephen Naismith's usually got something on his mind as well, so it'll be good to hear from some of them. Look back on the game at Ibrox and reflect on this first half at Paisley. So, it's an honest challenge by the St Mirren striker Olisanya. He sticks out a foot to just try and get the ball, but he does catch Joe Hart in the face.
That's a sore one. That looked a real sore one.
He got booked for it. They have a look at this.
Of course they'll have a look. I've always had a slight bit of sympathy for refs, because see the way the rules are written, when you talk about endangering an opponent, I mean, how could that not be endangering an opponent? But at the same time, you can totally see what he's doing. A cross comes in, he's not even looking at Joe Hart. The foot goes up and Joe Hart sort of stoops to his level.
I was going to say the foot's, you couldn't class the foot as high, could you? Because you're right, Joe Hart is stooping down. So it's different if he's standing, Joe Hart standing, that catches Joe Hart at standing height.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is worse.
Yeah, well, they're obviously checking it, and the referee. Now, you can instruct us, Gordon. You are encyclopedic in your knowledge of these matters. The booking has already been given. Do you simply upgrade
No, that VAR can do that for sure.
I think
if it's worthy of a straight red, of course,
I think he's in trouble. I really do.
If he goes to the monitor, he's in trouble.
Yeah, we all know what's happening here. Joe Hart is up and he's fine, and he's not made too much of a.
Tell you what, look at the side of his face.
A meal of it. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Side of his face, that red mark.
A real sore one.
Got a size 10 on it. He's going to the monitor. Stephen Robinson knows it.
He's got his best funereal face on.
Yeah, Stephen Robinson turns away in disgust, because when the referee goes to the monitor, it usually means one thing, and you can totally see both sides of this. If you catch Joe Hart in the face with your boot, it has to be endangering.
It's the way his foot there is going. That's endangering.
Yeah, it's higher than actually initially thought as well.
That's a red card. That's a red all day long.
Complete accident, but that's not like we've said there. Going back to handball, people always bang on about intent. It's not in the rules, and it's not about intent. It's about various other boxes to be ticked.
All credit to Joe Hart as well.
And
Joe
also
Hart doesn't make
also,
a big mess. Yeah.
See, if you think about this in the context of a standard tackle on the ground, he's late. Joe Hart gets the ball first. Yeah. And I think it is going to be yellow card. It's going to go back in the pocket, and St Mirren right on
down
the stroke of half
men.
Time are going to go down to 10 men. Yellow card rescinded and red card comes out. St Mirren are down to 10. We sort of knew that was going to happen. Once the VAR check took on a certain turn, Olasanya is gutted. He knows that it was one of those incidents. You go and dangle your foot in that area. Mm. He caught Joe Hart flush in the face, Gordon. I'm not sure.
Yeah, listen.
Too many complaints.
See, when you're getting brought up and coaches are strike, or coaches will tell you take a chance, get in early, But unfortunately, it's the way, the pace, everything about it, endangered the opponent. I feel for a lad, right? I really do. But it's a correct decision.
Yeah,
no way around it. So now you have a situation whereby Celtic are 2 goals up and it's 11-10. Now, when it was 11-10 against Rangers, Brendan Rodgers said his one and only concern about the game was the way Celtic managed it when they had the numerical advantage, and he felt they didn't handle it well. So we've got first half ending any second now, and I think in the dressing room Brendan Rodgers will be making that point. It's how you handle this now.
Yeah, without doubt. And again, all about speed of play. Try to move St Mirren's 10 men or 9 outfield players around the pitch as best they can. They've done it well here, but poor ball from Alistair Johnson at the edge of the box. But a much simpler task now for Celtic. I know it's simple when it's 2 up, but Hugh's right, the scoreline.
You get players that you can tell just don't want to shoot.
He should have.
Alistair Johnson all day long is screaming to be hit there at the edge of the box.
Yeah.
Tries to flight this sort of delicate one into Kyogo, goes over his head.
Yeah, he certainly picked the wrong option. There's no doubt that he's getting any good positions. He's been well. It's just half time
in Paisley, Andrew McLean.
St Mirren 0, Celtic 2, the half-time score. It was a lightning quick start from Brendan Rodgers' side that set them on their way to what has been a very straightforward evening so far. The opener came before there was even 60 seconds on the clock. Matt O'Reilly threading a pass inside fullback Scott Tanzer. It was into the box. Dyson Maeda ran onto it. He took a touch before putting it through the legs of Zach Hemming and into the net. Then inside 6 minutes, it was 2. Paolo Bernardo with a lovely first-time turn in the box to take a defender out of the game. He skipped by another pass to Matt O'Reilly. He delayed the taking of a shot just to get himself a bit of space, and a calm finish from him on his 100th Celtic appearance to make it 2-0. Almost a third from a Lewis Palma free kick. Crossed into the box, Kyogo flicking the header towards the back post. Alistair Johnson really should have gambled at the back post to try and get a touch, but that one bounced wide. Matt O'Reilly also flashed a header wide from a corner as Celtic kept the pressure up. They've had the majority of the ball, they've had the territory, very, very comfortable in this game. They'll maybe just hope that they can test Zach Hemming a few more times after that early flurry, but it could be even harder for the hosts heading into the second half, because right before the break, a cross fired in from the left. Joe Hart was diving out, punched it away, and as he did that, Toyosi Olasanya came steaming in. He was trying to challenge for the ball, but caught Joe Hart on the face with his boot. He was initially given a yellow card by referee David Munro. He was told to go to the screen by VAR Stephen McLean, and on reflection, that yellow card was upgraded to a red. So the half-time score here in Paisley is St Mirren 0, Celtic 2.
We can look back on that right now, Celtic fans. What did you make of that first half? 01419511025. St Mirren fans, do you feel hard done by the sending off? Pick up the phone, let us know.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dalziel are here doing many things at once, reflecting on that first half at Paisley, where Celtic lead St Mirren 2-0, St Mirren down to 10 men. Looking back on today's games and taking your calls, 01419511025. Andrew McLean is in Paisley. Andrew, Stephen Robinson looked pretty disappointed in the sending off? What's the kind of, what was the kind of feeling like in the stadium?
Yeah, well, St Mirren fans weren't happy at all. I'm sure you could hear it when I was doing the half-time report that the officials were being booed off the park, and you only get one view in it from in here. It did look like quite a hefty collision just on that first viewing from a distance as well, and then when you see it back, you know, the studs do connect with the face of Joe Hart. It will come into that bracket of endangering opponent. That's why Stephen McLean, the VAR, will have sent David Munro to the screen. I think there maybe was just an added frustration from the St Mirren fans, because they'll have come into this game with a bit of optimism, the fact that they got that win at the weekend, the fact that they have had results against Celtic here previously, but the game plan just goes out the window when you can see the goal in the first 60 seconds. It then even further goes out the window when you can see the goal again 6 minutes into the game. So I think maybe just an added layer of frustration for Stephen Robinson and the St Mirren fans. But you could see Stephen Robinson, he turned round, he put his head down as soon as David Munro was called over to the screen. I think he knew what was coming.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a bit, remember David Turnbull got one, was it in the last season? He kind of jumped up higher than that, to be fair.
I think, to be fair,
caught the goalkeeper in the face. I keep seeing Hugh, a lot of people on social media, and it's a really understandable human reaction saying that's an accident. Weird, the rules don't seem to make allowances for that. I mean, sometimes maybe it does look that way, but
I don't see how you can take sides in this issue, because it was endangering an opponent, that Joe Hart could have been very seriously injured there. Accidentally or otherwise, he could have been very seriously injured. The fans that Andrew McLean was speaking about booing the referee, they are not getting the benefit of the close-ups that we are getting. And on reflection, they would have to agree the referee took the right course of action, aided by VAR.
We don't agree on much by the looks of it, even those people who have seen it. I suppose, Mark, again, maybe another way to think about it is that, imagine there's a ball played along the ground, Joe Hart clears it, and then Olasanya's studs accidentally land midway up Joe Hart's shin. You would still get a red for that, and it was late. And so I wonder if you apply that same logic, and obviously when it comes to the head, it's even more in terms of endangering an opponent. But I think that also adds to, you know, if it's a complete 50-50, which it seems initially, but Joe Hart punches the ball away and then and then the boot hits him in the face.
I was going to make that exact point here, that if we look at all red cards that are endangering an opponent, the majority, surely the majority, are accidental. We don't get many that players go into absolute, you know, hurt an opponent and are red carded. Everybody has got the best intentions of going for the ball. The bad thing for Olasanya is that he missed times that Joe Hart gets here first, and he clearly catches him with a straight leg into the face. So of course it's endangering an opponent. I feel for him. Again, like Daz says, as a striker, he is entitled to try and get across the goalkeeper, but he missed times it, and it's the correct decision.
I totally agree. When I watched it and then I looked at the replay, I thought, yeah, he's in danger here. And I think the referee got to the right decision with the help of VAR, but it's a definite red card because it certainly endangered the goalkeeper.
You can be partisan, but surely to goodness, you cannot look at an incident like that and not be fearful where the goalkeeper is concerned, because, and through no fault of the St Mirren player, he is genuinely going for the ball, but he, in the course of going for the ball, very much endangers Joe Hart, and it's a head knock, and you simply cannot be partisan and say, ah.
So, to be fair though, it doesn't have to be partisan. By looking at social media, Chris Sutton, who's on television commentary, doesn't think it was a red. And if it was about partisanship, I think we know which side he would fall on. So it's not always necessarily about that.
If you said white, Sutty would say black.
Anyway, 01419511025, St Mirren fans, you can have your say on that issue. We can look back on today's football as well. Usual number, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. We're looking back in the game at Ibrox. Let's hear from Philippe Clement.
That it was a really good performance against a team that I respect a lot. They won 3 out of the 4 Old Firms until now this season. It's a difficult team to break also, because they play really well structured, organized, with a lot of physicality, but in a positive way, I mean that. With good transitions, set pieces, so
we had to be on our toes, but my team did that today, and they showed a lot of quality. With three good goals, really good football goals, good combination play, and good other chances also. We could have scored more.
Fair play. I mean, there's nothing you can argue with there. He has paid respect to Kilmarnock because of the results they've had against Rangers. Two wins over Celtic, one win over Rangers. But his team played the better football. End of story.
I think it was all about the 3 points today, Hugh. The reaction after the disappointment at the weekend and the Celtic fixture. They had to get back to winning ways. They had to, you know, they were playing first, get the 3 points on the board, put a little bit of pressure on Celtic. It's certainly not working with the way Celtic are playing in Paisley tonight. But in front of their home fans, I know that one or two of the callers that were at the game didn't say it was pretty, but it was all the timing of the goals and the introduction of the new signing as well. So it's been a decent day for Clermont and Rangers.
I always thought it was a dangerous game for Rangers coming off the back of that defeat at Celtic Park against a Kilmarnock side, very well organised, but with players that could hurt you at the top end of the pitch as well. And it almost went against him when Kelly missed their chance. But Rangers did create enough in the first half and did probably deserve to go in at the break. We didn't. Derek McInnes will be aggrieved it was 2-0 because the game's gone in. But to be fair, his team came back out. But the most impressive thing was getting the goal after that penalty went in against them, because that settled the nerves again. And after that, they should have added to it. Todd Cantwell should have scored again. And to get players back from injury, huge bonus. So they've gone to the break knowing what they have to do. The interesting thing is signings. I wonder who Clermont will bring in and if they'll be in for the start of the league resuming again.
Well, Rangers fans, get your thoughts in there. We'll keep you up to speed on anything you need to know before the second half starts in Paisley. Let's bring in Graham, who's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Graham?
Hi, good evening. Well, happy New Year to you all.
Same to you, Graham. What stood out today for you?
Yeah, I just wanted to call and talk about Yilmaz, actually. Nobody's really mentioning him. I actually thought he had a really good game at Parkhead, and I thought today he was outstanding. I know that Barisic is out with an injury at the moment, but I'd quite like to make the case for the fact that it's really his shirt to lose now. I think the main thing Barisic always brought to the table was his crossing ability, but actually, you know, Yilmaz's crosses today were pretty spectacular, I thought, and I think he's actually starting to kind of develop that part of his game. He's just really high in confidence as well, I think, so... just wondering what everybody thinks about that.
Well, it's one of the things me and Daz disagreed on. He'll speak for himself, but I think he's going to say he prefers Barisic and he should play. I've said for a while now, Yilmaz looks to be better defensively and just gives you more. Now, get the Barisic argument, and Graham's right. In the final third, his delivery is great when he gets here, but the games I've seen Yilmaz coming in, and Graham's right today, I think he got man of the match today. He was impressive. An assist today. So yeah, I would agree with that. It'd be very harsh to come back and Yilmaz is at the team. But look, who knows if Clermont fancies Barisic more.
I don't think he's doing himself any harm the way he's playing, his performances. Obviously Graham was at the game today and recognised he had a terrific game. You've got to say, man of match. Yeah, it's going to be interesting when everybody's fit and we return to obviously the games and competitive games, and when the big games come up, who the manager sees as the number one left back. But Yilmaz is taking a time. He had a few injuries. Barisic was obviously number one, but you've got to sit there. You've got to be patient. You've got to wait for your chance, and he's certainly grasping it.
I mean, that is four games in a row now for Yilmaz. Just hold that thought, Graham, because I do want to discuss more. But very quickly, Andrew, any changes at the break?
No changes in personnel for either side. You'd expect Brendan Rodgers will be hoping that his side will put their foot to the floor now. They want to go into that winter break in style, up against 10 men, of course, for this second half. If they can start the second half how they started the first half, I'm sure he'll be a very happy man. As for St Mirren, no changes either. You just wondered what they would do up front. Mikael Mandron, is it the most mobile up there without Toyosi Olasanya? Maybe he'll just be tasked with trying to hold the ball up and bring others into play, but it should be a tough 45 minutes for St Mirren. We bar back underway.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. From prescription deliveries to health vaccines and everything in between.
There we are, just getting the second half started there, which is a bit of a strange schedule for us on a Tuesday night. Certainly it would be weird enough on a Saturday. So Graham, here's what the manager, this might interest you because you've obviously phoned about Ridvan Yilmaz. This is what Philippe Clement had to say about him.
I think it was the best performance I saw from Ridvan until now. So he's also one of the players who are growing. But I have to say that about a lot of players, if I compare with 11 weeks ago, how they played and how they are playing now, I see a lot of players who are growing, and that's the road we need to take.
Well, certainly sounds like he was impressed, Graham.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think that what he's saying is correct. He really is. He's taken the... I just like the fact that he's taken his chance. He's been given the shot. He's had, as Mark said, he's waited a long time. He looks brave in the ball. That's sometimes what I think about Barisic. Sometimes if he faces up to somebody, and I'm not slating Barisic, I think he's a good player, but, you know, when he faces up to someone, we're all urging him to take the guy on, but he'll generally turn back and make a square pass, whereas it looks like Ridvan's full of confidence, and I think, you know, that's certainly a good percentage of your performance if you're a confident player. And I also think Barisic possibly could be a sellable asset for Rangers. That's somebody we could actually probably bring some money in for. So it's something that maybe the board need to think about as well.
Yeah, I wonder if it's that old cliche about the break coming at a bad time for Ridvan Yilmaz. Yeah. You know, if Rangers had another game at the weekend, another one next midweek, he probably stays in. You're then up exactly at six games in a row and all that sort of stuff. It's almost like a bit of a, maybe a clean slate after the break.
The break is when people hit the reset button, and the reset button at Ibrox might involve Barisic being back in for the first league game after it ends. But those words from the manager must be music to the ears of Yilmaz. He's waited a long time to gain the kind of acceptance that Graham and others have shown in him. So he has to hope that those feelings are still applicable after the break ends.
Yeah, it's never nice when you get back in the team. You've worked so hard, you've waited so long, and then all of a sudden it's holiday time and you just want to keep rolling on. But like, he'll just need to keep himself in top shape, and when they come back and they play their friendlies, hope that he's involved again and gets the opportunity to impress his manager. But I've always seen something in him. And again, I'll go back, defensively I think he's more sound than Barisic. Maybe lacks with his delivery, but showed today that he's got the composure when he does get in and around the box to pick out the right targets.
That's a good point, Graham. Thanks for bringing it up. That was Graham on the line. Second half underway in Paisley. Liam Scales has had a shot from outside the box. He was challenged just as he hit it. It's gone out for a corner. So Celtic, as you would expect, starting on the front foot. Not only are they two goals to the good, but they are a man to the good as well. Callum McGregor's shot cannons off a defender, and Celtic are in here. But maybe Greg Taylor could have taken a shot at goal, tries to square it, and it's cut out.
Good defending that, I think, from St Mirren, actually, because I think Celtic worked that well. Little pass fed through, cut across, bodies in the right place at the right time.
I think you're right, Mark. I think it was very, very good defending from St Mirren. They'll have to be like that for the next 40 odd minutes, because you would imagine Celtic will just keep coming and coming and champing that door to get this next goal, the third goal. It was certainly, the game's put to bed now, but it was certainly finish the game as a contest.
You sure?
I'm positive, not you.
He's going for bold predictions, yeah, in the new year.
I'm not messing about in 24.
I've tried to counsel him against this, but he's his own man.
Not everyone's as measured as you, Hugh Keevans. We can all but hope. 01419511025 if you want to look back on today's football. We've done that quite a bit about the Rangers game, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so. I'll let you choose. Who would you like to hear from post-match?
Derek Adams.
Oh yes.
Okay, fair enough.
No, Aberdeen were better than us today. I thought that the way that well, they scored their goals, it was probably our fault because we didn't defend well enough. But over the afternoon, you know, we haven't created enough openings to score. We haven't worked the goalkeeper enough around that penalty area. And over the afternoon, Aberdeen have deserved the 3 points. It wasn't tactically, it was just making errors. If you look at the goals quite clearly, you'll see that the goals we gave away were poor goals. And when you do that, then there's nothing you can do tactically other than put 10 behind the ball.
Ah, all a bit measured that, yeah, I'm afraid. Yeah,
oh, give us Martindale. How's he after today?
We'll get to him. But Derek Adams, maybe Hugh, you can't keep. Although did you hear his one at the weekend? They had a bit of a pop at Gabriel, I think, your reporter. Yeah. He sort of came in and demanded that Gabriel told him what he thought of the game. Something along those lines.
Right, I also saw Philippe Clement.
He did something similar, yeah.
Swallow the reporter whole. But Derek Adams made a rod for his own back, a massive rod for his own back, by saying something that was palpably stupid. And you have to live with that in Scotland, because fans and media alike will not let you forget it.
There wasn't much place he could go with that interview there today. If Aberdeen were clearly better, and it sounded like it was a walk in the park for them, it's difficult for a manager to come out and say anything really earth-shattering, especially after what he's said in the last couple of weeks. So much to be expected. Be interesting again to see how they recruit in the January window. It's another new manager. Will he get funds to strengthen? Will he loan players? Because no doubt Ross County surely have to have ambitions of shooting up the league.
The big story of today really was the fact that Aberdeen won it, though, wasn't it? Yeah, rather than Ross County losing it, if that makes sense.
Relief for Barry Robson. He was under a bit of pressure. I think if he'd have lost that today, he was in real, real trouble, because a lot of the Aberdeen fans have turned against him. But look, you get them back on your side by climbing the league, getting 3 points. He'll get into the winter break a happier man. And it gives them a bit of breathing space to go and work in.
Bit of a waste for Celtic there, Mark. They get in a good area, St Mirren down to 10, more space. It's a simple cross for Alistair Johnson, and he balloons it way over the head of everyone. Yeah. And out on the far side, he doesn't look as confident as he once was.
I'm a fan of him because of the way he started his Celtic career, but I've got to say, that's becoming more and more the norm this season, what we just saw there. You know, poor delivery. We've seen the first half, wee bit indecisive at times where he should have shot. He's certainly suffering from a lack of form. And maybe the break's just a good thing for him to go away and have a holiday and try to recapture some of that in late January.
You were talking about the big story of the day being Aberdeen winning. The big story of the day will be if Alistair Johnson keeps a cross in the park. But, you know, Celtic, for all that they are two up, for all that they have a numerical advantage, it's all a bit labour intensive, and that attempt at goal from Louis Palmer,
he's trying to cut across.
See, if you played with Palmer, right? He'd be one of these boys, done your nothing, because he can produce something out the ordinary. But more often than not, he'll, you know, try a cross field pass that's never on, or he keeps trying to score from corners and hitting the first man or going too long. He would just frustrate you so much. But he's a match winner, and sometimes match winners are like that. But if it keeps happening, then I'm sure his teammates are going to be on to him.
53 gone is very comfortable so far for Celtic, as you would expect. 2 goals up and a man advantage as well. Keep your calls coming in on that or any of today's games. We can very much look back on those. We're here until 7 tonight as well. I know that days and times get a bit all over the place at this stage in the year, but we're here until 7 o'clock. Davy Martindale, Livy beaten again, bottom of the league. Quite animated here.
There's no many at this point in time transferable assets in the change room, is there? There's not a lot. There's a couple. But look where we are in the league. I said, so just get your agents to phone me in the third, so the phone might go tomorrow. I say, because if you're not, if you know what to outrun, outfight and outwork and come into your work every day, work extremely hard within that environment and then translate that on any part, I don't want you at the club. Don't be at the club. Just find another club. So the day was a big ask on the players. And that, do you know what? I think they showed that they're up for the fight. They showed that they're up for the fight. And if I can bring another couple in, two, three, hopefully, bring three players in that are going to make us better, we'll have a right good chance of staying in this league. I've been an underdog most of my life. And you know what? If I get beat, I'll get beat going down swinging. I'll go down fighting, and I'll take it on the chin.
Oh, that's a good line. I like that, Hugh.
That's a touch of the Rockies about that one. But, you know, it's becoming a bit of a habit now. See a defeat, hear a moan, And, you know, we know that he doesn't have the greatest players, and we know that he has no budget whatsoever to go shopping. But he sounds like a man who subconsciously knows the game's up. And, you know, he's having his say, but subconsciously he knows the game's up.
I think he's tried every single thing in the manager's book, and nothing's working for him. He just seems like he's running out of ideas now, David. Yeah. I've got a lot of time for him. I think he's a terrific lad. Look, if he can bring in three players, like you said, they need to be really decent players if they're going to get out of this trouble. But I just think it's one year too far for him. I think they're a certainty to be in the Championship next year. I
understand the way he goes about his business and the way he manages and the way he coaches and that fire in the belly, and he really gets players up for it. And Livy teams in the past, they're hard to play against, looked like they were terrified to let their manager down, would run through a brick wall for them. Now, it doesn't seem like that this season. And the turning point is, Hugh's right, when you continually come out and have a go at the players in the dressing room. I mean, that first line saying about there's not many transferable players in the dressing room. If I'm one of the players sitting in the dressing room, how do you think I'm feeling about myself?
I get what you mean, but if he's saying like there are no good players in there or whatever, that would be really harsh. But they must know who at Livy's sitting there thinking, I could be sold for good money here.
I understand that, but what you don't want to hear is the guy who's trying to coach you and make you the best player saying there's not many
That can mean a number of things though, because you maybe take into account like age and contract status and all the rest of it. You could actually be good and still not be a good sellable asset.
I don't know if you'd hear many managers say that about any of their players. Now, I know Livy, it's a unique situation sometimes there, but it's always risky. You can do it maybe once, come out and say that wasn't on from the players and they've let me down, and I'll take the blame every other time. I think when you're coming out in consecutive weeks and saying similar,
by his standards, that was quite gentle.
When Davy Martindale took Livy to a cup final and was on News at 10, became a national figure, it was on the back of Davy Martindale saying, we're working a miracle here. Now he's decided that there's no miracles left, and it all sounds a bit bad tempered now.
Team shot from Maeda. Celtic look to add a third. Yang has come on. Who does
Palmer,
he replace?
Palmer.
I think they're making heavy weather of it now. You know, it's 11 Celtic versus 10 St Mirren, and they're making heavy weather of it.
Approaching the hour mark. More of your calls and the latest update from Paisley Nick.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
If we take a break, Celtic tend to score. It's happened a couple of times tonight. Greg Taylor has made it three. It is a stunning ball over the top from Paulo Bernardo and an emphatic finish from Greg Taylor. And now changes being made. Gustav Lagerbielka is coming on. We don't see much of him in league action, but on he will come, and Lia Labada will join him. So no return to action yet for Rio Hatate, but Mike Navrotsky's not played a lot of football recently. 62 minutes tonight, off he goes, and Celtic now 3 up, Mark.
Well, starting with a goal, what a fantastic goal it was from a short corner, well worked. And Bernardo, who has certainly changed my mind over the last couple of weeks, plays an unbelievable pass, hard for Greg Taylor because it's coming over his shoulder, and it's a terrific finish. So easy street for Celtic. Couple of changes. I wonder if Navrovsky's got an injury, because why would you not just keep him on and play 90 minutes? He's not going to play, you know, a lot if you keep taking him off, or you
would
keep putting him in the stand.
Would you take Scales off and giving him a break?
Yeah, why not? Scales has played so many games.
They were signed as a pair, you would have thought.
He must have a wee niggle or something, and they just don't want to take the risk, because you would try and play him 90 minutes for confidence.
But I'm glad you said, Mark, as a former Celtic player, that Bernardo has changed your mind the last few weeks, because I maintain, up until he scored and had a good game against Dundee at Dens on Boxing Day, no one would have blinked an eyelid if he'd been allowed to go back to Portugal in the January window. There wouldn't have been protests from the fans, but now he's beginning to show what somebody saw in him to bring him to Celtic.
I've got to say, I think he's been excellent so far this afternoon. You know, he sets up O'Reilly's goal, terrific play. And then that ball into Taylor is absolutely brilliant. To be all credit to Taylor, who's come in for a little bit of criticism from some section of Celtic.
Do you think
support.
He's aware of that? Because he did the old fingers in the ears that we've seen from David Turnbull already this season when the goal went in.
For sure he's aware of it, and for sure that was the David Turnbull signal to the crowd. And players are quite entitled to that, I think. Fans leave players without a name. They absolutely verbally abuse players. And if you get a little bit back, don't start booing and protesting at the player. Mm.
Great name, Elvis Buomono's coming on for his St Mirren debut.
He looks all shook up as well.
Oh, that was my next
line. It's not
line.
A great circumstance to make your debut 3-0 down and down to 10 men. Ryan Flynn is going to be the man going
off. Mind you, there's only one way you can go. You know, those that have been on the park have gone nowhere, so you can only make it look a wee bit better if you can.
Sure. And Mikel Mandron off as well. Jonah Ayunga comes on. So tough end to this, because the goals, and to be fair, even before that, it's just been attack, 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 hasn't it?
It's been a hard shift for St Mirren right from the first minute when Celtic scored. All of a sudden you think, well, it could be a long night, and it certainly has been. Celtic totally in control of the first half, and then St Mirren go down to 10 men, got their third goal. It's really how many that Celtic fancy tonight.
Look, Stephen Robinson will be desperate to forget this, but sometimes there's nothing you can do. You're playing Celtic, they're probably better than you, they might win, but you've got like a checklist of things that you really don't want to do. Concede early, 50 seconds, go down to 10 men, happens before the end of the first half. That becomes impossible.
It's an uphill task then. It's hard enough beating Celtic 11v11, especially when they're coming off the confidence as a Yang who looks lively when he's
good,
come on as well.
Good running shot. He has looked sharp, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's looked very confident, very positive. That's good signs for Celtic fans as well. So it's been, you've got to say, up to just now, it's been a very good, productive night for Celtic.
I'd be surprised though, Stephen Roberts. Of course, you're right off. Once you get the man sent off and you're 2-0, you write the rest off, because there's not much you can do there. But I'd be surprised if he doesn't, he isn't frustrated and angry with his own side. I know Celtic have played well, and you give them all the credit, but you've seen the captain, Marcus Fraser, having a real go at players for not tracking runners. And I think those simple things, St Mirren got all wrong. And we know what he's like. He's hugely passionate. I think he would have been really disappointed with his team's input into that first half.
More reaction coming into today's games. We have heard from a couple of managers already. Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell. Motherwell were 2-1 up right at the death, drew 2-2 against Hibs. It could have been back-to-back wins after getting their first win in 15 last week. But here is Stuart Kettlewell.
Really disappointed sitting in front of you just now, probably just for the point of view that we knew Hibs would have a lot of the game, and we knew they would throw crosses into our box. The pace and the threat that they carry, they've got some good players, so we knew that was always going to be a thing. But I probably just felt at that stage of the game, I felt we were really, really comfortable. And I know sometimes that can be your Achilles heel, but if I'm being honest with you, I wasn't sure that there was another chance there. I thought we'd kind of broke the back of it. I thought that we were still carrying that wee bit of a threat in the counter-attack ourselves. And just moments before we score, we've got the ball down in the corner, and you're thinking that we're managing this game pretty well. And if I'm being honest with you, we know the context of the game. There's loads of incident in the game. I think we're one clearance essentially away from 3 points today. I think if young Georgie, who's been great for us, I think if he makes a good contact with the ball, it's something I speak about all the time, big surface areas and showing a bit of composure inside your box. I think if he makes a good contact, I think we probably go and get the 3 points.
Well, fine margins there for managers who've been under pressure, and he's just saying, you know, he didn't really see it coming. If one of his players just gets the right contact, he may have got away with something. But look, when you've went through a period like him and you looked at the fixtures coming up, you would have taken 4 points out of the last two. So he must be pleased overall.
Kyogo scores the goal of the season.
And misses a sitter.
And misses one of the sitters of the season there. It's a gimme. And he's headed it wide. You wouldn't think that was possible, Dazzler.
Yeah, it was a terrific ball in from Taylor. I think he's trying to be too cute with it. He's trying to be too cute with it, and he ends up, that is a poor, poor miss for a man that you were expecting the back in 80 balls. But going back to Motherwell there, look, if you'd have said beat Livingston and draw at Hibs, I totally understand frustration last minute, you know, giving away that 3 points. But Motherwell have done that to teams, you know, what, 4 or 5 times this season. So sometimes it comes back to bite you, but at least it's a positive going into the break.
Well, look, of course, if you run on the long run and it's only one win in 15 or whatever, but actually, I don't know, what would that be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Last 8 games, you know, it's 2 defeats, 5 draws, 1 win. That's not bad. I mean, it's not brilliant, obviously, but it's that's not a bad points tally. That points tally, easy for me to say.
Yeah. What does that add up to? About 9 points or something?
Yeah, 8 points and
8 points out.
Nah,
of,
maybe not. Then that
eight
is rubbish. Points out of 48, take it back. Mate. That's not great.
No, I totally agree with you.
No. That was the last. Not about 48.
The last 16 games is 1-1 yeah. and 16.
I know, but the point is, right, see, once you've done that, once you've started that run, you can't now keep going, oh, well, it's only 1-1 and 15, because of course it is.
Right, so many are you going down to there?
Just, yeah, forget I that. Totally what I'm saying understand. Is, you can't just keep, unless they go on another long winless run, like, of course it's going to take a while for that X wins in. Well, that amount of games.
Exactly. 4 points and six. That's the way I would look at it for Stuart Kettlewell. And you've got to take it like that. You know, look at that run he's been on. And I'll always go back to the league position. He's sitting in eighth. And if he'd just got over the line, he would have went level. Would have went level with Dundee, yeah, who we've all been saying are having a good season. And then just behind Hibs, he would have went. So those are the fine margins where you go, what a disastrous season, and that manager should lose his job, to within a week, it's not looking as bad as people thought.
I would have taken four out the six, to be honest with you. I think today's was a difficult game. I know they'll be disappointed, but at least they're starting to go on the right track, and I think they'll try and build in that. I think the break's coming at the right time for Motherwell.
Significant change for Celtic fans, who'll be delighted to see Real Hatate return. He won't have him for long because he's off to the Asia Cup, unlike Kyogo. And O, who comes on, will be going there as well. But nevertheless, he's a very popular and effective player for Celtic. Hugh, and he's back.
Yeah, the two goal scorers from the game against Rangers go off, Bernardo and Kyogo. Hatate, although it's only a cameo appearance, the fans would just be delighted to see him back in a jersey. O gets another chance to show that he can do something. I still think there's a need for Celtic to bring in another striker in this January window, but O gets the chance to see if he can make a difference.
Celtic will go into the break top of the league, obviously, Mark, and if they can restart things with a fully fit Rio Hatate once he comes back from the Asia Cup, that I'm not going to dust off the like a new signing cliche, but clearly he's been very important player since he came to the club.
Well, just injects quality into your squad, and the same goes for Abada as well. And you look at Abada's goal contributions and over the piece that he's been at the club is huge. So you take him and Hatate, who on last season's form just made things tick. I thought he was best midfielder in the country last season. This season, it was a wee bit of a mixed bag. Remember, he didn't start the season.
Great Celtic, double save.
Oh, what a save that is for the goalkeeper. But
to be fair, he also barely started this season, did he? He's hardly played.
That's what I mean. So he's done very little this season. If you get him back fully fit, there's no doubt he walks into the side, and he's back playing at the level he was last season. He will walk into any side. So it's a real boost for Brendan Rodgers. So the need for lots of signings might not be there, but Hugh keeps going back to the four that he said he needed. Uh-huh. I just wonder if he will get the go ahead for those.
I think a big boost for him has been the form of Bernardo. I think that Hugh was right. I think until the Dundee game, nobody would have blinked an eye if he left the club. But I think, and even today, for the 60 odd minutes he was on, I thought he was excellent. So maybe give Brendan Rodgers a little bit, you know, thought to say, do I need to add in that position? Because he's got Hatate coming back fit, you've got Bernardo in there, you've got good quality with McGregor and O'Reilly. So I think Brendan Rodgers will be quite happy with a lot of the squad now.
It is lashing down in Paisley. Looks like a miserable night if you're a St Mirren fan. You've seen your side trail for pretty much the entirety of this game. They've been down to 10 men for a while. This will be a forgettable night for the home side, Mark.
Yeah, it certainly will. We're seeing the opposite of the multi-ball here. Matt O'Reilly actually having to wait for a corner kick. Wonder if St Mirren are just trying to slow things down.
Oh, it's
down.
A nice move as well. And then it's Matt O'Reilly who gets it wrong at the last minute from the set piece.
Yeah, but hugely disappointing for St Mirren. But Celtic will be delighted at how they finished this period.
Right, David is a Rangers fan. Oh, just lost him. I thought we were going to get David on the line. Hold fire. We'll try and get him back, because remember, the open line is here.
Very rarely you can see a game and say of it that the home team were never in it.
Yeah.
And St Mirren have...
That first 50 seconds were...
Well,
were good.
You know, that's lack of professionalism. You know, we lose a goal in the first minute. I'm always telling people that. And I'll tell Stephen Robinson next time I see him. But, you know, the home team have never been in it. And Celtic are three up, but could be five, six, whatever.
It's been murder, this mark, because, you like, to, I don't know, to try and save some face, you obviously want to go and get a goal, but you just know that Celtic are desperate for you to come onto them so that Yang and Abada and everyone else can run on in behind.
Well, that's it. They've got plenty that are willing to do that, and plenty with the quality to pick the passes that will unlock the door. Incredibly difficult side to play against when you've got 11, never mind 10. Again, a slick pitch that the ball's moving quick. So you start committing bodies forward, you could be on the end of a five easily here. Hugh is right. The goalkeeper has actually been in decent form as well, made some good saves, could be much worse. Still 15 minutes to go. You're just wanting your winter break to come now.
Yeah, Rio Hatate, I think it takes a nick, goes out for a corner. He lined one up from outside the box. I think we've seen him do that a fair few times in his Celtic career.
St Mirren's only hope here is a postponement.
The way that's coming down.
Yeah.
Not even get my brolly.
That's fairly chucking it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be somewhat home for you here.
Got to that stage of the game where we're analysing the weather.
You do that to me.
Well, you walked him and hugged me, eh?
I was around the corner.
Oh, 2 a.m, honestly. Like a young thing.
Oh, yeah.
Wandering up the road.
Hand in hand, singing away.
What were you singing?
I Got You, Babe.
Oh, lovely.
I Get You.
Superb.
Is that Sonny and Cher?
Yeah.
I like that. I like the idea that Hugh Keevans does those things.
Oh, we have
calls
a song.
Calls a wife, babe.
We have a song.
Which is?
I Get You, Babe.
No.
Go
He's
on.
He's not going to tell
Go
us.
Go on.
Keep no. I sang it to my wife in the Grand Canal in Venice on a river taxi.
That's right. What song is it again?
My Foolish Heart.
Superb. Honestly. I don't know how Celtic hasn't scored a fourth here, because Zach Heming is...
They're waiting to be going to a break.
Busy man. It's actually a good effort from Owe. He gets across the front. Diving header, well saved. And then Yang on the rebound.
I tell you, it's a brave header as well, because he looked at Joe Hart and what happened to him first half. Now that, you know, through no fault of anybody's, he's put his head in where, as an old former footballer used to say to me, where the noses get broke. And he got away with it. Good save from the goalkeeper.
Alex Grieve, who at times is a good goal scoring option coming off the bench for St Mirren. I'm not sure if he'll have many opportunities, but he's replaced Caelan Boyd-Munce for the last 13 minutes of normal time.
It's one of those games you look at the manager and think, look down.
Celtic now hit the post. Did that hit the post? Or did it go wide?
So.
I think it was a Liam Scales header.
Definitely something he's got in his locker, Liam Scales.
Outside the post, was it?
Yeah. He's the only one at Celtic Park right now. He's a throwback to bygone days. Centre half comes up, and he's the only defender at Celtic Park that can do that regularly.
He scored an impressive one. Was it a couple of weeks ago? Was it against Livy? Was it?
Yeah.
At Celtic Park.
Wasn't too dissimilar to that. He glanced at far post on that occasion, I think, didn't he?
Yeah. But there's one in the running. You know, I think we can all agree Matt Riley's probably shown it, but Liam Scales, who would have seen him playing any part in a Celtic side? Never mind being an outstanding.
What you're telling me is that when we do our half season awards to fill a quiet winter break next week, you want me to create a
categories.
Surprise of the season category.
And that should be in the end of season awards, because
what, most improved?
Most improved.
You want the PFA to bring in the most improved.
I've seen 2011 at Celtic. I think I might have been the running for that, because I came into the side late and then
who won it?
The most impressive.
I don't think it's not an award.
I'm saying there should have been an award. I still got in team of the year though. So
I'm telling you, you're going to need to get creative to fill this winter break. Couple of weeks of top flight only. No top flight, I should say. Need to get your thinking caps on. We will come back with more updates from Paisley next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
83 gone in Paisley, still St Mirren nil, Celtic 3. Mark Wilson, I don't know how it's still 3. Celtic have had various options at goal, but a combination of tame finishing and good goalkeeping and defensive blocks, it does remain 3.
Yeah, I'll give the goalie credit because he's made some decent stops, but there's no doubt Celtic should have done better with their finishing. Abada, the most recent one, to have a couple of opportunities that he should have done better. Yeah, amazing. Games like this where it's just one-way traffic and that fourth goal just won't go in. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will be too annoyed.
If you're Stephen Robinson, you just want the...
What's all the go?
Winter break to start, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, and he's handy for the airport. He might as well go over and get away right away. Because, I repeat, rarely do you see a game where the home team have never, ever been in it at any stage of the game. And the only consolation for Stephen Robinson is that it's 3-0 Celtic. It could have been, conceivably, 7 or 8.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. A bit of combination of poor finishing and terrific goalkeeping. But I think that when he looks at the first part of the season, Stephen Robinson will be... I know he's not been in great form, but got a terrific result at Pittodrie. But to be in fifth in the Premier League going into the winter break, I think if you'd have said to him at the beginning of the season, that's the position you'll be at, he would have snapped your hand off for it. So as much as you'll be disappointed today, overall, I think you'll look back and think, yeah, it's been not a bad start to the season.
Hearts are up to third after that win at Livingston today. Or they started the day in third anyway, didn't they? But they've strengthened their hold on it. Here's what Stephen Naismith made of it.
Pitch is rubbish, always going to be. So I'm really pleased with the performance because it's not a pitch that you're going to get any good football on. It's a battle in these games, the way the ball bounces. If you let the ball bounce, you're in trouble defensively. And also the timing of your runs are most important in these games. I thought first half they got the better of the fight. They were picking up second balls, we played deeper. Second half we were much better at that part, and then we had our bits of quality. When we made our runs at the right times and we played the right passes, we created chances, and I think that was... You work every day about the main things you want to be as a team. When you're playing pitches like this, you can get sucked into going, but we do this. And I don't think you can... It's not worth the risk for me. And one of the biggest criticisms was our away form in previous years. It's another game where we look like the team that's going to win. We then get ahead in the game. We manage it well. We even get the setback of the penalty. I've played in the Hearts teams that crumble at that point. It's a big improvement.
I like that. No diplomacy. The pitch is rubbish. And he's correct. And, you know, with... all respect to Davy Martindale and Livingston, their pitch and Kilmarnock's pitch are anti-football. Stephen Naismith said it there. You can't play football on those pitches, and you won't be at Livingston next season because they'll be down in the Championship, and Kilmarnock are changing theirs to grass. So he has put it as firmly as a man can, and Stephen Naismith is quite right. The pitch is rubbish. And his team had to rise above it, as all teams who go there have to do.
You've got to like Lauren Shanklin's style. He's got 7 goals in his last 6 games, but he started missing penalties just to make it a bit more interesting. He's missed 1 today, 1 in the derby last week, and still got 7 in his last 6.
Well, he's just a player in form, apart from taking penalties, that's for sure. His range of finishing is incredible. It goes to show you, penalty kicks aren't as easy as people make out. 12 yards and put it in the back of the net. You see top players missing them, and he's certainly a top player at this minute. Now, I'll be surprised, hugely surprised, if Shankland is still a Hearts player by the end of January. David Friel was saying earlier on, I don't think he's in any rush. If I'm Shankland at the age I'm, I know I've got a contract, but I am in a rush.
He's never been as hot in his career as he is now.
You've got to strike you when you're hot.
He's had to build a career. He's been at so many clubs. No one speaks or spoke about him back then the way they do today. So this is his big chance in life. It's either a bigger club than Hearts, or it's a bumper contract at Hearts, which reflects his status as chief goal scorer, club captain, and only hope.
But even at that, Hugh, a bigger contract, I think when you're at his stage, I think he'll be well paid anyway. But what is the wage cap at Hearts? Of course it'll be decent, but you want to go to a club that's
but it might
every
be difficult
chance of being successful.
Can Hearts command a fee for him that's more than what him staying and qualifying for the group stages of Europe might be worth? Then that's going to be the tough bit for him.
That's the tough bit, or they let him run down his contract until the following year and he leaves for nothing. It's a gamble that all clubs have to face, and how the player reacts to that. Now, I'm not for one saying that Shanklin would down tools and throw the toys at the pram, but if you're him and you're hot and you've got the Euros coming up and you've got genuine interest from teams who have got an opportunity to give you silverware and progression in European football, then believe me, you're saying to your agent, let's exercise, you know, all options here.
But you know, I think it's a difficult. I totally agree with you. If I'm Shanklin, I'm looking at 28. This is my big money move. This is the one that seals the deal for me. I'm in bang on form, scoring goals. People want me, but it's a problem for Hearts. As Celtic just missed chance after
chance.
How Alistair Johnson hasn't found the back of net is incredible. I must have taught him that one.
Yeah. I mean, it is just chance after chance. It's Greg Taylor this time across the face. Oh, just trying to flick it around the corner. Johnson just moments before. St Mirren players just desperate to get off the pitch now.
Yeah, we're almost there. Almost there in Paisley. We have stayed on to see out the conclusion of this game. We're only here for another 6 minutes or so, so we'll just about get the end of this game squeezed in, but it is certainly going to be a Celtic win, probably by three. Maybe they can grab another in the last minutes of additional time.
I suppose at the end of the day, Celtic's task was to take the 5-point gap back up to 8 following Rangers' win against Kilmarnock. That has been achieved and then some. So Brendan Rodgers, in that regard, will be happy with his day.
Never mind his day. I think the past, what, 10 days or maybe 2 weeks since that loss at home to Hearts, the pressure was on. It was really on for him. And he had to negotiate Livingston, Dundee, Rangers, and away to St Mirren. And you highlighted it, Hugh, you know, right after the Rangers game, that this was a tricky game for Celtic and they needed to get the job done. They've done it 4 times when the pressure was on, and they can go away, regroup, maybe sign players and come back stronger.
Feels like Yang's looked really sharp, Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the challenge for him? I feel like he maybe has actually done that in a couple of sub appearances, but maybe to turn that into starts and, you know, really impacting games.
Yeah, he's been very positive tonight, which I like to see. He's come on the pitch every time he gets the ball. Yes, we've looked at one occasion where he ran the ball just right out of the pitch, but I would much rather have that. I'd much rather have my wide player, especially with pace and trickery, going at defenders, causing them problems. And he's certainly achieved that this afternoon when he's come on, because I think he's looked very lively indeed.
Yeah, 3 additional minutes. We've already played 1.5 of those, so I think it's safe to say it's pretty much going to end this way, as Matt O'Reilly tried to put a cross in. He's not happy with it. Very high and into the goalkeeper's arms.
Very high expectations of himself there. I mean, 2 minutes to go here before the winter break. He's been arguably the best player of the season and still not happy with himself for misplacing a cross. But that's the standards you need if you're going to be a success at that club.
Big fascination of the window. What if someone comes in from Matt O'Reilly? What does Celtic do?
Depends on the money.
How much? Yeah, Inter Milan, was it a couple of weeks ago that were reported interest? But did I not read that was a loan move where potential to buy? Surely Celtic wouldn't be interested.
No, because excellent from Yang. He's twisting and turning, and it just will not fall for a Celtic player in the box. St Mirren still, to be fair, defending for their lives despite being 3-0 down. So well done to them for sticking at it. Can't be easy down to 10 men, but it has had a sort of training game feel to it. Matt O'Reilly has a shot blocked. It is just constant.
Yeah.
And again, this will go into the goalkeeper's arms, and that probably will be that. He is going to waste time at 3-0 down, because you just have to now, don't you? It's one of those nights.
He's been great, actually, today. I mean, made some good saves. It's the other players in front of him that's let him down. There's not much he could have done about the goals. He almost got to Maeda's, and O'Reilly's one went through his legs, but he's made some good stops.
Yeah, so Mirren won't get a thousand like this for a long time. And as I say, in that regard, Brendan Rodgers has to be pleased. the mid-winter break now comes along. There will be a short intermission, and when we come back, it really will be the big picture, because there aren't that many games left, and there is no margin for error, and it's over.
It is done in Paisley. Celtic have won by 3-0. It does restore their lead at the top, and on we go into that winter break. Rangers have the two games in hand. They will be played at a later date. But as far as things go, Mark Wilson, how is that to round it off?
Well, a perfect way to end a week where Celtic defeat Rangers with an impressive performance, but back it up with an even more important performance against a St Mirren side that on paper looked tricky, but they got off to the perfect start and took all 3 points pretty convincingly.
So there we are, the final game of the first set of fixtures in 2024 is done. Celtic win it. It's been quite the day. Rangers winning, getting back to winning ways. A debut for Fabio Silva. Important wins for the likes of Hearts and Aberdeen. A share of the spoils between Hibs and Motherwell as Livy's woes continue. And just when we were starting to get into the groove, the Premiership does go on its winter break. But do not worry, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is always here for you. We will be back tonight, tomorrow night from 6 with Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller. Look forward to that one. In the meantime, you can stay right there. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to the guys in the studio and the top team round the grounds. Enjoy your night. I know lots of you will be back at work tomorrow. Maybe that sense of routine is back. You can make sure you tune in to us from 6. And Lindsay Gibson is up next.
Super Scoreboard with Call Robert Accident Repair. Why call your insurance? Let Robert take away the hassle.